This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to Ron Segi Today, live all across the USA and around the world. And our second hour's first guest is a lady that I saw in concert many, many years ago. She was the warm-up act for Prince. And boy, ever since that time, I have been a fan. She is sensational on stage. Grammy winner Sheila E. will be joining us on the show. Next month, already, the new season of NASCAR will start in Daytona Beach, not too far from where we're doing our show right now. And our guest from that great sport is our friend Kurt Busch. Later on in the hour, Doris Kearns Goodwin will be here, one of the premier presidential historians. She has a book called Leadership. It's about Abraham Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, and Lyndon Johnson. We thought with our new attendance of the White House, she'd be an appropriate guest on the show this week. And that's all coming up this hour with Ron Segi.
Balance of Nature is fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
The product that you have given me here is, as far as I'm concerned, sent to me from heaven. I love it a great deal. It's hard to find anything that's real nowadays. I enjoy it immensely. It's making my life so much better. I feel so much better. And during this pandemic, I have no worries whatsoever. My immune system has got to be at a top-notch level. I don't seem to get colds or anything. I don't know what getting sick is anymore. This is so cool.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 800-2468-751. That's 800-2468-751. Or by going to balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code USA.
Did you hear that? That is the sound.
No, that is the sound of the wrecker. That is the sound of the tow truck.
That is the sound of your car stuck in the snow and the tow truck is on its
way. You know what the tow truck is coming for? The tow truck
is coming for your wallet.
That's what it's coming for. I know.
That's what it's coming for.
Listen, this is Billy Gerard here, Rockstar Radio.
And I have the solution. It is called Track Grabber. TRACGRABBER. Go there. TrackGrabber.com. Winter is coming. Do not let this sound be you. TrackGrabber. TRACGRABBER. Go there. Get these. They are inexpensive. They will save you a fortune in the long run, and they will save you from getting stuck. Go to TrackGrabber.com. Log on. Get yourself a pair. Get a pair for the family. They're easy to install, and they will get you out of the mud, the snow, the sand. They will save you from the wrecker bills. Oh, my goodness. They will pay for themselves the first time you use them. TrackGrabber.com. Promo code ROCKSTAR saves 25%. That's TrackGrabber.com. Promo code ROCKSTAR.
Sitting here just chilling to the vibe, feeling alright. I could do this all day, all night. It's not like I had a choice in this. The taste you left on my lips, it's so amazing. Let's go dancing.
And we are back live all across the USA and around the world. It's Ron Segi Today, and that is the voice of our next guest who's been on our show in the past. And boy, I tell you, she is dynamic. When they say she truly follows the beat of her own drum, to use a little cliche, that is exactly the case. We're talking about legendary Emmy and Grammy nominated singer, drummer, and percussionist, Sheila E. Hi, Sheila. How are you? Nice talking with you again. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been. Thank you so much for having me on the show again.
Oh, absolutely. I hope you're doing well during these troubled times. You okay, my friend?
I am doing well, thank you. Everyone in my family is doing well. We're staying home and safe, and that's important.
That's absolutely important. Well, this is a brand new record, Lemon Cake, which is out today. You know, Sheila, I'm going to go back just a second before we talk about the new record, okay? But I first saw you. My radio station sponsored in Buffalo, New York. It wasn't in Buffalo that my radio station was, but we sponsored one of the tour dates, Purple Rain, with Prince, and you were the opening act, and we were in the first row because it was our gig. And I got to tell you, from that moment on, I have loved you and your work. You did I can't even explain how great that. It was better than Prince.
Aw, that's so sweet. Thank you so much. I had a good time doing that tour. We had an incredible time, and it just, you know, we didn't expect it to be as successful. You hope and pray that it does, but wow, it was amazing. We did so many shows, and, you know, some of the cities we ended up going back and doing more shows, so it was great.
Oh, yeah. In fact, in our studio, I have the purple tambourine that he gave to my wife because we were in the first row, but you were just, you stole the show. You were, I mean, he could have stayed in the back for a long time, but you worked with him, Marvin Gaye, Lionel Richie, Ringo Starr. Now, tell us about Lemon Cake, okay, which is out today, ladies and gentlemen. Good song. You just heard parts of it.
Thank you. Lemon Cake is when I first met Prince in the mid-70s. He came to the Bay Area where I was born and raised, and I took him to some of my favorite places to eat, which was this great sandwich place, but also this donut shop that I loved because I love sweets. And he did as well. And later on, when we start recording in the studio, we always made sure that we had, like, lemon cake, chocolate cake, cookies, you know, coffee, wine. And it was just part of, like, the hang. And later on, he had a chef, and I told him, I said, you know what? I make a good lemon cake and a chocolate cake. And he goes, okay. So I made it, and it was love at first sight. And he's like, okay, you can make it this lemon cake. And so I talk about the song about how much he loved my lemon cake, and it was just a great memory to share.
You know, it's amazing because both of you had maintained, and you still do, but he maintained a very slim figure after eating all this lemon cake. So whatever it was good for, good for both of you, you know. You know, you talk about starting off, you're only about 3 years old when you actually started watching your dad actually rehearse with the likes of Tito Puente and Carlos Santana. But you got the bug early in the game, did you not, Sheila?
I did. Watching my dad play and practice around the house every day to LPs, and then he'd have jam sessions, and sometimes he would have a small group in the living room playing. In my first performance with my dad, I was 5 years old. He played at a place in Oakland with his brothers called the Escovedo Brothers, and I sat in playing congas.
That is so cool. Then when did the singing come into play, Sheila?
I sang a little bit off and on with a local group at 14 and 15 called Grito, and then I joined my dad's band professionally as a musician at 15, because then I knew this is what I wanted to do. So I started singing a little bit of backup in my dad's band, and I loved to sing. We used to mimic people all the time, but I never considered myself a singer, and I'm a better singer than I was a long time ago, but it took me a long time to be comfortable with singing, especially as a solo artist.
Sure.
You know, I just felt like if I sang, I had to make sure that I was playing timbales, like that was my blanket. And it was the same thing with all of the musicians in my band. The only way that you could even audition for my band is you had to be able to dance, sing, and play an instrument. Otherwise, you couldn't be in the band. So if there was one thing that you were lacking, you weren't allowed to even audition, because I thought it was important to be able to do all three. It was like triple threat. You got to do all three. We want to entertain the people. We want to sing, and it was a team effort.
I got to tell you, that's a large and a high bar to go under, and you certainly set the pace for it and did it excellently. You know, I mentioned in the beginning, kind of following the beat of your own drum, that's actually the name of Sheila's memoir, and you're very candid in there that after a lot of success, you suffered a variety of health problems and kept you away from being on stage, and you know, I remember distinctly the show The Magic Hour that you did with Magic Johnson, where you were the band leader and kind of his Ed McMahon, if you will. But you parted ways with Prince for a while and then got back to him. What was the reason for that? Was there, I'm sure, some artistic differences, maybe too much lemon cake?
Good one. No, in 89, coming out of the Love Sexy tour, I didn't like the direction of the music that he was doing, and I was there because I loved his music. I loved him, and I just thought it was time to just do something else, and I wanted to go play, you know, some other things and other genres of music as well. And, you know, when you're playing with him and my band as well, I mean, it's just nonstop. So I just thought, you know what, I want to just go do a solo record, and I want to also do my jazz record. I want to go back to playing drums, like, you know, Latin jazz and things like that, and Brazilian music. And when I'm doing the pop and R&B circuit, they don't kind of, people don't really allow you to do the other side of you, you know? So It's just that I left his band. It's not that I left him. I left his band for a while, and I just said I had to take a break. So I did, but I mean, yeah, a couple of years later, we were back recording for sure.
That's great. Again, we're talking to Sheila E., who's absolutely fantastic. If you ever get a chance to see her on stage, you got to do it. And her new single is out today. I'm very happy that we're part of the introduction. It's called Lemon Cake. You know, you are known for your music, being an author. You have a real burning fire for ministry work, too. Do you not, Sheila?
I do. I love, sharing my experience and sharing with people how basically I thought I was in control of my life. And I think just sharing that, you know, God created us and he made me who I am, and my musicianship, my gift is something from him, because there's no way that I could learn as much as I did at such an early age. Yes, watching my dad and being around music, but there were things that my dad didn't teach me, and he said, you know, this is a gift. You have a true gift that God has given you, and I love sharing that and knowing that God has given me this gift, that I know that this is my purpose, and through music, you know, this is love, you know, and we can definitely use music these days to spread love and bring people together.
Boy, amen to that, boy. There's no doubt that's the common denominator that we all have, not only in these days, all the time, too. Sheila, are you on tour? Well, you're not on tour now, but will you be touring maybe towards the end of the year?
I hope so. I mean, initially, our whole tour got postponed from April. We were booked the entire April and part of May up to June, and now it got pushed to June, and now we're looking at dates, looks like not starting till September. Yeah. So I'm hoping it's not gonna take this long. If I do say so right now, I mean, please, anyone who's listening to this, please stay home, be safe. If you go out for a short period, wear your mask, your gloves, bring hand sanitizer, just do what we need to do so we can get back to loving each other.
You couldn't say it better, I tell you. Well, look, do me a favor, okay? Don't be away so long, because I think the last time was a couple of years ago that we had you on the show. We love having you here. And ladies and gentlemen, the new single is out right now by Sheila E. called Lemon Cake. And get it. It's a great song. We're going to go out playing it. And Sheila, thank you for being with us. Stay safe, my friend. And look forward to having you back real soon, okay, dear?
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sheila. She is something else. Talented and beautiful. Sheila E., new CD out right now. It's a single, Lemon Cake. Check it out and check out her website. And there's more to come with Ron Seggi today.
Attention real estate investors, do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money, and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100 and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need.
800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the tech boom in the U.S. markets. The red-hot e-commerce payment sector is on fire with no signs of slowing down. Text the word HOT to 48542. Here's just one example of what you can get with the up-to-minute research from Avid Market Readers. According to Allied Market Research, mobile payments are on track to exceed $12 trillion, and Avid has identified one of the hottest companies in North America that is poised to dominate the mobile payment and e-commerce sector in 2021. Text the word HOT to 48542. 5542 to get your free subscription to Avid Market Readers. We deliver the data directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word HOT to 48542. Set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode now with our information delivery system from Avid Market Readers. Text HOT to 48542 now and don't get left behind in 2021. Text HOT to 48542.
As a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming, but then she needs this chemo. That's the decision you shouldn't have to make.
It's a huge burden lifted financially, and so it allows you to give singular focus to your child. I've never known a hospital that takes care of their patients so thoroughly.
That was the first thing I was like, how are we going to do this? When they told us that we didn't have to pay a single bill, I was like, wow. They pretty much have saved us.
It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders, and now your focus is supporting this child.
There is not another hospital like St. Jude. The patient care is unmatchable. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Back with Ron Sedgy today, and as I've said many, many times before, if you have listened to me at all over the years, you know I'm a big race fan, and particularly of the NASCAR circuit, and we have one of the giant champions on the show with us right now, making a frequent appearance, joining us right now from NASCAR, Kurt Busch. Hi, Kurt. How you doing?
Doing great, Ron. It's good to talk to you. Thanks for having me on the show.
I go back to the days of watching, and I was a kid, when I used to watch the likes of Fireball Roberts and Joe Weatherly and Lee Petty. I'm so happy that it has gotten to be a sport that has been so embraced by the general public. I mean, it's fantastic.
It's been unbelievable over the different generations, like you're talking about, to now see it live and bringing the past to the present with the NASCAR Hall of Fame. It's amazing to see the history of our sport and the pioneers of what it is today, what they created. I mean, guys like Lee Petty, he was the first professional racer. If he didn't do race well on the track, his family wasn't going to eat that night. And so it's amazing what families and what different competitors have done over the years.
And what's amazing, I saw that too, is that he would drive the car that he raced to the racetrack. I mean, those are really stock cars, not like the safety that we have today. Thank goodness we have it. But those cars were it, warts and all.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The cars we drive today spoil the drivers, you know. Back then, yeah, you bought a car or you bummed it off your family or you did a business deal with a friend and you drove the car to the track. You hope that you raced well enough to place good enough to get some money, and then you drove it to the next track. You put cars on trailers. You didn't have to race and drive the same car. Then corporate sponsors became involved, and it turned into ownership, and then drivers. You name it. The sport of NASCAR has gone through its evolution, but the roots of it, based right here in the southeast, of different moonshiners running from the cops, and it's amazing how it's come full circle today. Be a mainstream sport that's comparable to football, baseball, basketball, and everything else.
You're absolutely right. Here's a sport that, for all intents and purposes, had its origination with crime, really, when you talk about it, with the rum runners. But you know what used to break me up is that those cars that we're talking about, Kurt, that we drove to the track, I didn't, but, you know, we watched everybody drive them, they used to tape up the headlights. Now they put fake headlights on with decals. It's just totally, as you said, come full circle.
Yeah. I mean, you had to put the electrical tape on the lens. That way, when you bumped into somebody, the glass didn't jump out on the track and cut people's tires.
Right.
And then there's races that people won by just staying out on their old, hard tires. They used to steal tires off people's cars in the parking lot and leave a note on the windshield, say, hey, call us if you need some tires afterwards. It's amazing what the sport is today, and we have all those great pioneers to thank, and the different families, the different legends, and all of it. It's great to see it, and it comes full circle with it, where we have guys like Ned Jarrett or Bobby Allison that are still part of the racing family, and then we've got the new young drivers out there, even as young as Joey Logano, part of the program. Come out to the track. It's a fun, active lifestyle to get the family involved.
You know, I mentioned earlier Fireball Roberts, who was one of my favorites. I just realized before you were driving the number 41, which brought you to victory, you used to drive a Dodge that was number 22. That was his number.
You got it, number 22. And I'll tell a quick story. Working with the Wood Brothers here currently, Leonard Wood came over to me and said, you know, we ran the number 22 to start off when we were running, but everybody knows the Wood Brothers are the famed 21 right now.
Yeah, right.
When Fireball showed up at the track, he was a Ford factory driver, so he would get number preference treatment, so to speak. He would have the 22, so that made the Wood Brothers switch to number 21. So that's a great fun story to tell to everybody on, wow, the 22 is a special number.
Well, and it is a special number. I had the opportunity to meet up in Daytona with Marvin Panch. They were racing partners at the time. That was his teammate. And great stories about the Fireball on the number 22. Now, you and your brother are out there competing, all right? And it reminds me of the days of Bobby Allison and Davey Allison, where they're competing against one another, or Lee and Richard Petty in those days. No mercy for your brother, right? You're out there to win, right, Kurt?
Oh, for sure. He's the first guy at the end of the day that I want to beat.
He's a mixed breed there, you know? I mean, you got people who love him and people that like to bull him. I mean, he has to have some pretty thick skin. You're liked by everybody, but he's got some people at different ends of the spectrum.
Well, I appreciate you saying I'm liked by everybody. I've been through those hard times, and it's just that competitor that's in you, that desire to win and to be the best. And sometimes you rub people the wrong way, and other people love it. And that's the character that he is. And it's fun to know him as a brother and as a real person. And then when he puts that helmet on, what it does to everybody when they strap it on how crazy you can be.
Right.
But it's fun to race against him. I treat him as a teammate when we're out on the track. But at the end of the day, I know he wants to beat me, and he's the first guy I want to finish in front of.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that. Now, Kurt, I don't know if people realize how exciting it is to be on a racetrack. Now, I've gone around the Daytona track and a couple other ones. It is, whether you're driving slow, whether you're walking, whether you're in a golf cart, it is a sensation that you just cannot believe. So, quick point here. When they initiated this points championship, does it, do you think, as we talked earlier about the old days, does it take away from the winning driver? I mean, here you are competing for two different things. You're competing to win the race, which was the primary thing you competed for back in the old days, if you will, and now you're competing for the points. Do you think it kind of draws away from the winner?
Well, there's two ways to look at it, and right now you have to be consistent if you want to make the top 10 in points. And then to get a guaranteed spot in the chase, you can go out there just for race wins.
Mm-hmm.
So they're promoting both aspects of it. And right now, we've been a steady team. We find ourselves eighth in points. But then you got a guy like, say, Matt Kenseth has two wins, and he's not in the top 10 in points, but I think he is. Anyhow, if you have a lot of wins, you get a guaranteed spot in the chase. So you want to win, but yet you want to be consistent.
Restrictor plates or no restrictor plates, Kurt?
Well, it's all about maintaining the correct speed. And if we weren't restricted at tracks like Daytona and Talladega, we'd be doing 240 miles an hour.
Yeah.
It almost gets a little too dangerous at that speed.
I agree. I'm going to down in the pit, so I'll come down and say hi to you, okay?
Absolutely. Come on by, and I love our military. I'm a great supporter of all the different programs and the foundations, especially the Armed Forces Foundation, on serving those who serve.
Let's face it. NASCAR does a great job at the beginning of every race paying tribute to the military in our country, and I think that they should be saluted for that. They do a great job.
Absolutely. I mean, we wouldn't have the ability to go out there and race if we didn't have men and women out there protecting our freedom. And of course, we're going to be there with our hands held over our heart and flags flying high.
Do me a favor, my friend. Stay safe, will you?
Thank you. I appreciate that. And to all of our men and women out there serving, stay safe and come home soon.
Okay. One of the champions of the NASCAR circuit. Two brothers racing together. Unbelievable. Kurt Busch has been our guest. Thank you, Kurt.
Ron, it's good to talk to you. Thanks for having me on the show.
I enjoy talking to these NASCAR drivers so much. You just can't imagine. I love this sport. I go crazy for it. But what is really funny is that I got my wife hooked on racing many, many years ago, and now she watches NASCAR more religiously than I do. She knows everything there is to know about it. She even watches the time trials, the qualifications. Fanatical. Believe me, it's nice to have a wife who enjoys the same things you do. And I want to remind everybody to check our website, which is ronsegi.com, ronsegi.com. And when you get there, you can hear our latest show on demand 24/7. We're going to pause very briefly. We'll be right back with more with Ron Segi Today.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system. And it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
As the United States approaches 25 million COVID cases since the beginning of the pandemic, most states are seeing a slow decline in both cases and hospitalizations. New data from the COVID Tracking Project shows that the 7-day average of new cases fell by more than 10% in 44 states over a week ago. Those declines coming as North Carolina becomes the 21st state to detect the presence of the more infectious variant of the coronavirus, first identified in the UK. The FBI has charged a man who called for the assassination of a member of Congress. 34-year-old Garrett Miller of Texas was arrested for taking part in the riots at the U.S. Capitol. Federal investigators also say Miller posted several threats of violence on his social media accounts, including a tweet calling for the assassination of New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. This is USA Radio News.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MacTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
across the USA and around the world. You are listening to Ron Sedgy today. After almost 30 years of doing this syndicated show, I finally get a chance to talk to a person I've wanted to talk to for a long time. And I was telling her just before we went on the air that I have followed her career and her work. She's terrific. She really is. And she has written several books. Seven, in fact, is the one I have in my hand called Leadership in Turbulent Times. She is the renowned premier presidential historian and Pulitzer Prize winning author. Joining us right now is Doris Kearns Goodwin. Doris, welcome to the show. At last we get a chance.
Thank you. Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's been a pleasure. And I got to tell you something. I went through this book like a surgical knife through butter. And as I mentioned to you in the before we went on the air, I have a replica of the Oval Office in my home and just acquired the Resolute Desk. So you can see how kind of a fanatic I am.
That is pretty incredible. Wow, I've got to see that someday.
I would love to have you over to break bread, sit in that office, and talk to you. But let's talk about
it's
this book.
It's a deal.
I had to put down the President's Club to start reading this, okay? This book is put into four themes, okay? Before public life, life crisis, life in the White House, and then the review of how the presidents that you discuss in this book handled the crisis. But why these presidents at this time? And the presidents, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about is T.R., Teddy Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, Abraham Lincoln, and Lyndon Johnson.
Well, these were the four presidents that over five decades of studying the presidency that I felt I knew the best. So it may seem strange that Lyndon Johnson was in the other three, but I thought if I focused on domestic politics that he absolutely deserved to be. And what happened is when I finished Teddy and Taft, and I was trying to figure out, okay, which president do I do now? And each time I would move from one to the other, I would feel like I was leaving an old boyfriend behind. I'd feel guilty because I'd have to move that guy's books out, bring the next guy in. So I thought, well, what if I just look at my four guys again that I knew the best and contrast their strengths, look at their weaknesses, see what family resemblance of traits there were, and talk about leadership, which is what I've been interested in since I was a grad student at Harvard. And it turned out to be a great project. And Turbulent Times was chosen as the title because it was the turbulent times they each one lived in. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have predicted that it would be so relevant as it is when it finally came out.
Well, isn't that the truth? Now, as you alluded to, you have written books about all four men, and basically this is centering on how they handled crisis. Now, you have two Republicans and you have two Democrats, and you say that Abe was, of course, a big crisis, the threat of democracy, and that, of course, was huge. T.R. settled the coal strike. You have Franklin Roosevelt, who was involved with the coming out of the Depression and going into World War II, and, of course, LBJ, who is referred to as a prairie dog lawyer, but he turns around and he does a great job in the domestic front, but a terrible job on the international front. So these are the big items of each of those individuals, right, Doris?
Correct. And, you know, the thing you said at the beginning is true, too, that in the early part of the book, I start off when they're just running for office for the first time, in part because I want to show their vulnerabilities and their mistakes and the arrogance and how they learn as they grow older, because I think young people thinking about leadership on the presidential level, they'll think, oh, these people are in Mount Rushmore. They, you know, how can I identify with that? That's what a college student has said to me one time. So that's the early part. And then each one of them goes through a very personal crisis that I think once you've gone through something really difficult, Lincoln had a near suicidal depression,
mm-hmm.
and he came out of it only because he said, you know, I haven't done anything yet to make any human being remember that I've lived. He'd had such a terribly terrible early life. FDR had, of course, the polio attack that left him a much more empathetic man. Teddy lost his wife and his mother on the same day in the same house, went to the Badlands, and that experience made him a Westerner as well as an Easterner. And LBJ had a massive heart attack in his 40s and comes out of it saying, if I died now, what would I be remembered for? And then they get thrown on the stage where a huge crisis is going to be involving them. But they've been through something before. They've seen resilience. They've known as long as they can learn from it, they're going to be able, hopefully, to have the confidence to get through the next phase.
But I found interesting, though, all four men, although later, and of course Monday morning quarterback is one thing, but later in life we realize that they all had, as you said, fragile beginnings. I mean, Lincoln certainly had his problems dismissing the major hurdles, but he had his own personal problems. Roosevelt, T.R., here's a man that was a tough guy. I mean, he was shot and went on with a speech. I mean, you talk about a guy that was
right.
a tough cookie. There's no doubt about that. In the case of Franklin Roosevelt, his own partners in his law firm were not impressed by him. And certainly LBJ always had that, and you would know this better than anybody, always had that complex of not being, you know, from a Harvard or Yale. He was from a, you know, a teacher's college in Texas. So they didn't really come out of the chute looking like they're going to do what they did, but then developed into it.
I think that's really important for people to understand. I mean, even as you suggest with FDR, when he was 28, he was not considered, you know, a very good student at any of the schools he'd been in. He wasn't even being a good partner or young intern in the law firm where he was. And then they come in to him and ask, would you like to run for a Democratic seat in Dutchess County? And he immediately says yes. And once he gets on the campaign trail, he knows this is what he wants to be. One of the things that combines all of them, at some point, there's a voice within, the philosopher William James said, that tells you, this is what I want to be. And then you somehow kick into motion, into gear. But even then, he wasn't a great speaker at first. You know, Eleanor said that she was there at the time, that he would somehow pause so long between sentences, FDR did in that first run, that you thought he was never going to go on. But then after a while, when he got more confident, you thought he'd never go off the stage.
Mm-hmm.
But you watch them when they're still developing. And I think it just gives people an idea, not just as political leaders, but as leaders in any field, as long as there's the humility to understand where you've gone wrong and acknowledge your errors and grow, you can become a much better leader than you were at the start.
I think one of the problems, and this is just my personal opinion, with the leadership today is no one reads about the leadership of yesterday. And I think that's where a problem, you know, my mantra has always been, you can't figure out things today or tomorrow if you're not knowing what happened yesterday, because it kind of repeats itself in some way, shape, or form. You know, the other thing...
You're speaking something that matters so much to me. I mean, I think that's really right, that what's interesting about these four guys is that Lyndon Johnson's hero was Franklin Roosevelt.
Right.
And he really had met him when he was young, but he had read about what he'd done. He knew about it. And then Franklin's hero was Teddy Roosevelt.
Right.
Teddy read about Abraham Lincoln during this whole summer of this coal strike. He read the 7 or 8 volumes that Nicolay and Hay, and he got solace from knowing the difficulties Lincoln had been through. And then Lincoln's hero was George Washington.
Right.
So they all knew about the persons before, and history is such an important way for you. Don't start these things alone. People have been through these things before, and you can learn from them.
Absolutely, and I think that's what's missing in the politics today. You know, and TR and LBJ came into this office of presidency actually the same way. I mean, they were vice presidents when the president was assassinated, but for some reason, and maybe it's because of the media today, for some reason I seem to think, after reading the book, that the LBJ way that he got in was more shocking to the nation than Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I mean, obviously, McKinley was assassinated, as was John Kennedy. But I think the difference is that with John Kennedy, the people watched in real time
mm-hmm.
the murder of John Kennedy and the murder of Lee Harvey Oswald. It was part of that saturation of the difference in television versus hearing that McKinley had been assassinated and then he didn't die right away. But I think there's no question that the country was convulsed by that change with JFK. And LBJ's great benefit was that he was able to go up to that Congress and talk about healing and talk about civil rights as the way, the first priority, which was a hugely risky thing for him to do because that was the bill that was stuck in the Congress when John Kennedy was killed.
Mm-hmm.
And he deserves, before the Vietnam War took over, enormous credit for having brought Republicans and Democrats together for all that 89th Congress. It was incredible what they did. Aid to education, Medicare, Medicaid, you know, aid to the cities, voting rights, civil rights. It changed the foundation of modern America. And part of it was that after JFK was killed and there was a sense of hate having been part of that, people wanted to come together in order to show that we weren't that kind of a country, where you could have, you know, what Oswald did and what people's reaction to it was.
Doris, we're going to pause for a second, take a quick break. We'll be right back with our very special guest, Doris Kearns Goodwin. As I mentioned in the introduction, the premier presidential historian. She has written books about several U.S. presidents, and in this latest effort, she has combined four of those presidents, Abraham Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, and LBJ, in a book that is entitled Leadership in Turbulent Times. And Doris Kearns Goodwin and I will return with another segment live all across the USA and around the world with Ron Segee today.
a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming, but then she needs this chemo. That's the decision you shouldn't have to make.
It's a huge burden lifted financially, and so it allows you to give singular focus to your child. I've never known a hospital that takes care of their patients so thoroughly.
That was the first thing I was like, how are we going to do this? When they told us that we didn't have to pay a single bill, I was like, wow. They pretty much have saved us.
It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders, and now your focus is supporting this child.
There is not another hospital like St. Jude. The patient care is unmatchable. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at St. Jude.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Today, in another segment with the premier presidential historian, Doris Kearns Goodwin. Her new book is out right now, Leadership in Turbulent Times. And see something that I find extremely interesting. You say that Teddy Roosevelt, I keep on saying TR because Nixon used to use that rendition of reference to him. He would handle today's media better than the other three gentlemen.
Yeah, I think if we needed somebody to come back today, Teddy knew what it was like to be the center of attention. He was the bride at the wedding and the baby at the baptism and the corpse at the funeral. So he could capture everybody. He has a pithy statements that could be on Twitter, speak softly and carry a big stick. You know, don't hit until you have to and then hit hard.
even gave Maxwell House the slogan, good to the very last drop. But more importantly, he understood that the country was divided during the Industrial Revolution, that workers were feeling cut off from the capitalists, that people in the country were feeling cut off from people in the city, and that they were blaming immigrants. And he was able to talk about a square deal for the rich and the poor, the capitalist and the wage worker. And he did it with fire and with cartoon quality. I mean, media would lap him up today, but he'd be fighting for a broader cause, and I think that's what would make him probably the best of the four for today's world.
And don't forget the teddy bear.
And don't forget the that's how popular he was.
Yeah.
He goes on a hunt. They make him try and kill a bear because he hadn't gotten a bear, and he refuses to, and suddenly the bear becomes a cartoon, littler and littler bear, and Teddy's saying no, and teddy bear becomes the most popular toy in American history.
Isn't that something? All people at some point or another needs to feel loved. These four gentlemen needed to feel loved. I do think that Franklin Roosevelt and Lyndon Johnson probably had that feeling more so than the first two presidents.
I think that's right. I mean, I think that certainly Lyndon Johnson did.
Yes.
In the end, it comes from a lack of confidence. You know, that I think he had had parents, Lyndon Johnson did. His mother adored him when he was little, but then when he didn't do well in school, she seemed to break away from him. So he thought that the way to get people's love was to do something, to accomplish something, and that's an endless trait. I mean, you can never succeed enough if that's what you're basing people's feelings of love for you on. FDR had a certain kind of internal confidence from the time he was young, but he really had a charming desire whenever he met somebody to make that person like him. And sometimes he would even agree with them when he didn't really agree at all, to not have contention in the meeting. I never thought about what you said, but I think that's right. I think Lincoln and Teddy were less probably than FDR and LBJ in terms of needing that manifestation of having won somebody over when they meet them.
And I think from a standpoint of economics, Abraham Lincoln and LBJ, they were both prairie dog lawyers and really made money later on in life, although I don't think Lincoln was ever really that big. But there was a great deal of money made by Lyndon Johnson through a lot of broadcast holdings and some questionable investments over the years. Those two probably in the beginning were most alike. I've always been fascinated, not only how you became interested in presidential history, how you became so close to Lyndon Johnson. I could go on for days about that. You're only 24 years old, student at Harvard, and you were selected to join the Fellows of the White House, and here you are in a dance floor in the White House, and you had been very vocal about the removal of LBJ from office with an article in the New Republic. You were against the Vietnam War, yet Lyndon Johnson picks you out of a crowd and says, I want that girl to be in the White House because I can win her over. If anybody can, I can. What went through your mind when you heard that?
No, I mean, you told the story exactly right. I mean, I had written this article before the dance in the White House to celebrate my having become a White House fellow with the other fellow 16 of us, but it came out in the New Republic after the dance. And once it said how to remove Lyndon Johnson in 1968, I was sure that was the end of my White House fellowship. But he did say, as you suggest, bring her down here for a year. And I never fully understood, you know, why he had done that. I mean, I think it was partly because I loved listening to him, and I ended up going to the ranch and helping him on his memoirs. He told great stories, many of which weren't true, but they were great nonetheless. It was partly because I was young, partly maybe because I was a woman, so he might not have thought of me as judgmental as I might have been, but he knew I was going to become an historian, so that mattered to him, that it was the Harvards of the world that would be getting to know him. But it was the most extraordinary experience that I probably ever had. It's what made me a presidential historian. My PhD was in Supreme Court history, so I would have been studying people in their robes rather than these presidential characters. So I'm really grateful that I had that experience. And I took it for granted when I was young. Now I keep thinking, oh, all these things I wished I'd asked him. Because I was there day after day after day in the ranch. I got to know him really well. And he was so sad in those last years that he wanted to talk about the times that were good. So we would talk about the New Deal times. We'd talk about the civil rights stuff. And that's what I was working on in the memoirs, was the civil rights chapters and his relationship with Congress. We had split up the memoirs. So it may be that that's why he wanted me to be there. It wasn't talking about Vietnam all the time.
Very unusual individual, no doubt about it, warts and all. In fact, I remember Jack Valenti's book.
Oh, Jack Valenti, of course.
Yeah, Jack Valenti's book was fascinating because he says, you know, the guy did things in public he wouldn't do in private.
And No, he was a colorful character, the most interesting political figure I think I've ever met. Real force.
Was it difficult to stave off his advances? Because you've talked about that candidly.
Well, the thing that was interesting was that I was always talking to him about steady boyfriends, even when I didn't have them at all, because I knew he had a minor league womanizing reputation.
Mm-hmm.
But everything was working perfectly until one day he said he wanted to discuss our relationship, which sounded ominous when he took me to the lake, conveniently called Lake LBJ. Wine, cheese, red check table, all the romantic trappings, and he started out, Doris, more than any other woman I've ever known, and my heart sank. I thought, oh, my God. And then he said, you remind me of my mother.
Oh.
It was pretty embarrassing. So who knows what that meant. But, no, I mean, luckily, he had wanted me to go down there and work full time, and I knew how powerful he was, and that if I left Harvard and went there full time, that then I wouldn't have the power to withstand him, not just sexually, but just as a person,
sure,
really.
Sure.
So I said I'd like to work part-time, and I'll come down on Christmas vacations and summers from teaching at Harvard. And at first he said, no, it's all or nothing, and I thought that was it. And then the last day he was in the presidency, he called me and said, all right, part-time. And I think that's what gave me the strength, because I knew I'd be going back, that I was coming and going and not in his presence the full time. Turned out, thank God I did it. It would have been an enormous loss.
Yes, it would have.
I hadn't gotten to know him. It helped every other book that I've ever written to be empathetic about these other people as I learned to be about him.
All four presidents died. Do you agree they died with the attitude that they unfinished their biggest challenge?
Oh, without a question. And Lincoln knew that Reconstruction was the biggest challenge that had to be faced, and he was just beginning to face it. I mean, Teddy Roosevelt died hoping that he would get into the presidency again in 1920 because there were things left unfinished.
Right.
And FDR knew that the most important thing was what to do after the war for the peace. And LBJ, of course, knew there was more to do on civil rights. So, yes, absolutely.
This is a must-read. It's called Leadership in Turbulent Times, done by the best, Doris Kearns Goodwin. Doris, can I tell you that this has been a very big honor for me, and I hope that one day you can come back, and even more importantly, visit me in Orlando and see my Oval Office.
I would love to. It is a promise on my part, and if it's a deal on yours, it's made.
It's made. Okay. Great. And thank you for doing this.
I loved it. There's not even a question. It was great.
Okay. Thank you, Doris, and we'll look forward to having you back, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Doris Kearns Goodwin has been our guest, presidential historian, and there's more to come with Ron Seggi today.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-215-1727. 800-215-1727. That's 800-215-1727.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
I'm Wayne Alaroot for Cornerstone Asset Metals, the official precious metals dealer of the Wayne Alaroot Show. Legendary Wall Street firm Goldman Sachs and I rarely agree on anything. They're globalist and liberal, But we agree on precious metals. Goldman Sachs just issued reports advising their clients to dump the dollar and buy silver. They know what I know. Money is being printed by the trillions to save the global economy and pay for COVID. Inflation's coming. Protect and preserve your future savings and standard of living. Protect your retirement and protect your children's future. Gold and silver have protected wealth and future buying power for thousands of years. Call the experts at Cornerstone Asset Metals. Cornerstone will help make the process easy and smooth for you. Right now, they have a special offer for my listeners only. Cornerstone will give away a gold 1/10 ounce American Eagle coin free to all qualified purchasers. Call toll-free 888-8-GOLD-NOW. That's 888-8-GOLD-NOW. Or go to CornerstoneAssetMetals.com. That's CornerstoneAssetMetals.com. 888-8-GOLD-NOW.
That's a wrap with Ron Segi today. I want to thank you and all of our guests for being part of the past 2 hours. And our guests include my friend Lee Greenwood, actress Bellamy Young from the TV show Prodigal Son, Sterling K. Brown, star of This Is Us, Grammy winner Sheila E., NASCAR great Kurt Busch, and a premier presidential historian, my friend Doris Kearns Goodwin, whose book is out right now called Leadership. Well, we'll be looking for your company come next week when we're going to do it again live all across the USA and around the world with Ron Segi today. Till then, I'm Ron Segi, hoping that you have blue skies and green lights.